that was well documented, I understand, in the Osborne versus Ohio briefs, and certainly expressed by the United States Supreme Court in that decision, that the creation of this material harms the child, one, and two, this material is used in harming more children, in lowering inhibitions. Okay, I don't profess any expertise at all, let me say, with the regard to whether that is true or not, but the United States Supreme Court. Mr. Kent or Mrs. Hodson could certainly testify with far better experience than I in those areas, far more study. But the United States Supreme Court certainly believed those propositions, was convinced of those propositions in the Osborne versus Ohio case, and that is the motivation behind these statutes, is the belief in the proposition that the mere existence of this stuff is harmful to children because children had to be harmed to create it, first, and second, that a principal use of this stuff is to harm children in the future by using it to lower their inhibitions and connection with the abuse of those children. And balanced against that, there is no social justification for having the material in existence that outweigh, you know, to weigh, to put on a balancing scale on the other side. I know of none. And that's as succinctly as I can state the motivation behind this proposed legislation. Now, I've given you an outline, kind of going through section by section.
Madam Chair, could I?
Senator,
looking this over, reading the bill, Warren, you'll forgive me.
We talked about that.
I see that under Section 8, it extends to making it unlawful to observe sexually explicit conduct or to view any photograph, et cetera, of it.
Yes. And that is present law.
That there be but the present law requires that you pay for that privilege.
Yeah, right. And we're taking out the consideration
that
requirement.
So if you're just a gratuitous observer of a photograph of child pornography, you appear to be guilty of a Class C felony. I guess I'd be interested in a little development of that one, on your part. Why we should go that far?
Okay. As I understand the situation, there is a significant amount of activity of this character that goes on a voluntary exchange basis. Yeah. Hey, some people trade baseball cards. Some people trade child porn.
Let me interrupt here and ask you a question directly. I think maybe hopefully on point of what we had. An effort to make some in 87. And during that time, in 87 and 89, we had a state senator who was very concerned about this, who persisted in carrying and showing to us on the Senate floor explicit photographs of children. And I used to tell him, look, if we had the law as you wish us to do it, mm-hmm. I could arrest you right now, Senator. And I'm still and to that extent, I wanted to arrest him because I was offended by having those displays shown as part of what everybody believes we need to see here in order to support reduction and elimination of such things. Tell me how Section 8 would affect the former state senator.
Or you, as the viewer.
Yes.
Section 8 doesn't address the displayer. I believe they're... Madam Chair, I don't do criminal law. Work. In 20 years of practice, I've had one criminal law case, and that's because of something to do with the partner's maid's daughter. When I was working at a big law firm. But my recollection, and Mr. Kent could address this as one who prosecutes these cases far more effectively than I, but my recollection is that there are elements of scienter and mens rea, the guilty mind, that are part of any criminal prosecution, along with...
That's not what it says here under 8. I was very...
I mean, there are general concepts in criminal law.
Yeah.
Let me say, I'll certainly defer to anybody who has a criminal fact. I do note, looking at this section now, that this is probably the only section. All the others have the word knowingly in there. This one did not before I amended it and does not now have the word knowingly in there. And I would have no objection at all, and would encourage the committee, if it's concerned about the specific language of Section 8, to add the word knowingly that appears in all the other sections.
What you're looking at.
Hmm?
So I guess you would know what you're looking at. I'm not sure that gets us there, but...
Well, you don't know it until after it's too late. I mean, I think there are elements of... in fact, there is, I know, a definition of what knowingly means in the criminal code, which requires more than just stumbling across something.
So based on what you've done now with the bill as it stands, as you bring it to us, could and would and should the senator have been...
The senator should not possess the material.
That's right.
If I could make just one observation here, Senator Cohen, there are specific exemptions noted at the beginning of the bill for the purpose of, among other things, the proper functioning of the criminal justice system and...
Fine. I would say then why isn't it, it's justice criminal... for that particular child, if the rationale for is that you have harmed a child by creating that photograph and by possessing that photograph, then you have done the bad deed already by possessing it, and the senator, even though he showed it to his fellow senators to tell us how bad it was, you know, what this awful stuff was, wanted to show us some of his decline. I guess I still have trouble. I mean, I want to make it work, and I find that either you are skipping over some of the real linkages here.
Madam Chair.
Now, I just want to hear from these folks right now. Thank you.
I have to run back. On this one point, may I offer something? Kevin Maris,
your name for the record.
District 32. I don't know why they're even arguing this point. I think your point is totally well taken. I think there's a mistake here, and there's no reason. We already talk about possession, and if someone shows you something, you haven't possessed it. So all we have to do is change this to say to pay or give anything of value to obtain or view a photograph, so that we take care of that situation. If you pay someone to show you the picture, or you pay someone to give you the picture, then we've got someone, we've got scienter. And I agree with your concern, and I'm just concerned these gentlemen are so worried about this pristine bill that they're not going to recognize a common sense problem and correct it. And I think you've got a common sense problem. I apologize for rising.
Thanks.
I have to go back up to House Judiciary, and I guess you already
work
know.
Work out all those bills. I'm basically supportive of the bill, want to move it, but I do think there are some things we need to
But I think
to
that's
about.
Your concern is correct, and I just wanted to be able to get that in before I headed back. I'll try to come back later.
Thank you.
No. Let me just suggest, I think the same thing can be accomplished less destructively by adding the word knowingly, because in terms of the harm being done, consideration is not a factor.
Right.
It's the intent, the knowledge that, hey, you're exchanging pictures of children with this friend you have who engages in the same kind of activity with children as you do. And again, the extent to which that kind of activity occurs is not something within my knowledge, but that is one of the objectives of the measure, which is to good at this kind of activity.
But exchanging is possession.
Well, but this is viewing. The Section 8 specifically deals just with viewing.
Yeah, but okay? The senator is still possessed.
Okay. Right. And keep in mind that it also deals with viewing live children. In other words, if you are arranged,
it says
it goes on.
Photograph, view a photograph.
It says to view, to observe sexually explicit conduct by a child in lines 40 and 41.
Or obtain.
I recognize, but what I'm saying is if you qualify all of those with the word knowingly that appears in the other sections.
Madam Chair.
Senator, are we having the constitutional lawyer come forward here now?
Not going to talk about guns.
Right.
Senator Larry Hill, for the record, the senator, in displaying the material to you, violated current Oregon law, ORS 163673, which is Section 6 of the bill, which currently reads, a person commits the crime of dealing in depictions of a child's sexual conduct.
No. He didn't develop it, duplicate it, or publish it.
Displays.
Yeah.
Displays.
In the alternative.
Class B felony.
Don't worry, there's legislative immunity.
My point, Madam Chair, is we're not going to protect the senator, if that's our interest, by not acting on the bill. The law currently is very strict in terms of displaying this material. And if the senator displayed the material, technically, he could have been prosecuted.
I think that you're really dealing in, he wasn't dealing in, he would allege, Section 16 is with dealing in depictions, and the word, there's a word dealing in that sentence.
Oh.
And let's talk with the lawyers and say that I don't believe Section 6 would have made him be in violation as it's written current law. I need to figure out whether what we are driving at in terms of possession, because he did have it on his person, and I think that's what has to be clear in terms of establishing the record of what do we actually mean by possession. Does it mean the crime of dealing in depictions of its sexual conduct? If is that the crime? He certainly wasn't dealing in the depictions of criminal whatever that he would allege. That wasn't his intent. That wasn't what was in his head. We had a little discussion about we're trying to get away from what's in people's heads right now.
You'll note those different things are stated in the alternative, and displaying alone would be sufficient to bring you into the Class B felony category.
There's also a mitigation. One could argue mitigation, that it was for a purpose other than to exploit the child. For instance, for a purpose to strengthen protections for children. Therefore, the senator could.
I don't believe that's the case. We're moving now. Let's not argue about the old law. I want to talk about possession. As you currently are asking it be construed in terms of having, possessing that for whatever purpose is in his head, good, bad, or indifferent.
Okay. Let me just kind of put this in context of where we are in the existing law. Present law basically has three levels of violations dealing with child pornography. At the production level, you've got the actual child there and you're using the child, that's a Class A felony. The distribution level, bringing it into the state, reproducing it, existing law, it's a Class B felony. At the consumption level, we presently prosecute that as well, but only if you can show consideration, payment. So our objective, and that's the Class C felony. And what I tried to do in drafting this statute is to keep that three levels of seriousness, the ABC felony, keep consumption as the lowest level, the Class C felony, eliminate the requirement for consideration, and criminalize mere possession. Now, there are two areas that you deal with. Section 2 of the statute deals with the hard copies, essentially, where you've got a picture or a film or a videotape in your possession. Section 8 deals with viewing, In the first part, you go to view a live show that involves a minor, or viewing that hard material that someone else makes available to you, whether you possess it in the course of viewing it or not. Now, the section did not before have the knowing requirement. It does not now have it, but I'm inclined to agree with you, Senator Cohen, that it should have it. so that if somebody flashes a photograph in front of you on the Senate floor, you will not be in violation of the statute. And don't let me get out of here without discussing the other amendment that we need with regard to libraries. If appropriate, I'll address that now. That's the one that you should have in front of you marked hand engrossed at the top. On the House side, there was one amendment made to the bill, and that's the addition of subsection 2 to section 2 at lines 11 and 12 on page 1. The specific reason for that addition was that a witness appeared from the Oregon Library Association requesting an exemption for libraries. And having worked in four libraries over 8 years, I can understand the reason for this. They have huge collections and shouldn't be held, even though, frankly, I don't think it's necessary because of the knowing requirement, but libraries are naturally concerned in this area, and the decision was made to exempt them. And quite frankly, the decision was made at the hearing to exempt public libraries, and somewhere along the line, this private libraries language was added. That language, as far as I'm concerned, the books I have on my shelf at my home and my office are a private library, and that language seems to me to make the whole Section 2 utterly meaningless. And what is proposed in these amendments is to incorporate by reference some express definitions of libraries in the Oregon statutes. The definition of a public library in 357-400, which is a statute about library exchange materials, and the definitions in the property taxes. The original amendment just referred to tax-exempt organizations, leaving some question about what tax you're talking about. So I incorporated by reference in my handwritten additions there a reference to the statute that exempts all state, county, local, other public bodies from property taxes, ORS 307.090 and 307.130, which is basically charitable scientific organizations. Broad categories of organizations that have large libraries that we certainly agree shouldn't be subject to the exposure under this bill. I also move the exemption from Section 2, which only applies to the possession statute and not the distribution statute, so it'll really do libraries no good, to the general exemption provision in Section 3, where we exempt it from all of the statutes except one, like the law enforcement and the educational. We do not exempt them from the prohibition on actually using live children, which is the reason none of those exemptions belong in the statute. Has that explanation helped?
For that, yeah, I think that's.
Madam Chair, one question. I noticed in the listing of the purposes of this private nonprofit that you do not include educational. Yet that is of one of the purposes that can lead to the tax exemption. Was that an intentional omission or an oversight?
Well, of course, most of all the state educational institutions are under 307.090.
A private institution that could be exempt from taxation under the statute, I believe, includes educational institutions.
Okay, I think a private college would be under 130. There is no other exemption that covered private. It's kind of a broad. A scientific, charitable, and I've got it, the actual statute here. There is no other statute that exempts private colleges and so forth from property taxes. And quite frankly, this is just something that came to my attention this morning, so I...
I think we can work this...
We can work that
this
out.
This issue is a question. From
the, it's literary, benevolent, charitable, and scientific institutions is what the statute refers to. And it does not have a further definition.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think we can... Those are things we can look and debate about. I think we want to make sure that we get the basis and the rationale covered thoroughly with the people who were here, who worked on the bill. And
so basically, if I can just summarize the amendments in the three areas that we would have no trouble with. The first is the one that's provided you as the hand engrossed. The second is the deletion of the language or graphic focus on that was a concern of Senator Springer. I think to some degree it's probably redundant with the lewd exhibition language. The third is that we would have no objection, and I'd consider it appropriate to add the word knowingly in Section 8 with regard to the observing child pornography.
Okay, further questions of...
Madam Chair, I just wanted the proponents to know that we're not stepping out. Senator Hill and I are a half hour late for trade and economic development.
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure that we get at least for folks committee members.
Another Senator Hill and I are a half hour late.
I appreciate your
attention. I guess we need to hear... I'm not sure what we're going to do with Stevie now, who has some amendments to offer. I think we need to bring you forward now and to get them on the record, and then we'll hear from you. If you don't know what they are, you need to, and then we'll talk about them.
You've just gotten them. I would like to comment on them after.
Okay. Madam Chair. Come on up, Stevie.
Well, Stevie's coming up.
Yes.
I'd just like it on the record to support the bill. I'm Senate Chief Sponsor's bill. I believe the state has a compelling interest to protect children this way.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Stevie Remington, the Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon, and I'm coming here not in opposition to the bill, but to offer some amendments that is an attempt to address some of our concerns, and many of which have already been raised. These were drafted, and I only picked them up at 11 this morning, from Rex Armstrong, and I wish he could have been here, because I had a quick conversation with him. But my understanding of what he's attempting to do is get the focus away from the material itself and the viewer's reaction to it to whether or not the child was actually harmed in the process of this. And so he is suggesting that there be a rebuttable presumption added that the material was produced in violation of the laws of the state of Oregon or improperly imported into the U.S., and he has that in two different spots. The other thing we were suggesting is to delete the phrase or graphic focus on. One of the examples someone thought of was a description we've had of the Mapplethorpe photograph in which a child is photographed in a dress, but the genitalia is apparent, and whether that would be artistic expression, and but not in the sense of any actual harm to that child who was photographed. And finally, he suggests deleting the bit on the transportation. He figures that's unneeded. And I want to raise two concerns that aren't here, and that is that you've raised before. I, too, from the beginning of seeing this bill, have been concerned about the person not being required to have intended any harm or to distribute it and whatsoever. And one alternative I thought of was to, I know the knowingly might help, but is to, in both places, put if it's for the purpose of arousing or satisfying sexual desire, which I think is in another part of the statutes on public nudity, which would...
I'm perfectly content to have arrested the senator. I'm also perfectly content to have arrested some of the people in the audience who continue to bring us these kinds of things, most of which are the folks who want us to amend the Constitution and all other reasons. But I worry that the reason, half the reason why they're here concerned is they like to show these things to other people and other people and to tell people how awful they are. And I don't need to see it. And I'm convinced, but the people who persist in demanding that I look are the ones who are oftentimes the people who are down here wanting us to do that. And that, I guess that's the piece that is some concern to me, and to say, okay, if we're really serious about this, then that means you all out there who want to show us how awful this is are yourself in violation as people who possess this kind of material. So I guess I'm not as sympathetic as maybe all of you are, you know, all of the people who are witnesses. I'm not sure where I'm driving. I think we've got to be absolutely clear what we expect to have happen here. And that's what I mean for you all to think about and come forward and say, do we really want to have Joyce Cohen call Major Renfro and arrest a fellow senator? Or what? I mean, is that what the intention is? Because it could very well, and we want to make sure we make a conscious decision on what we expect to have happen on this, I think. Okay, anything else, Stevie? I think if you'll shop the amendments around with Warren and company and see what you think, and we'll get back in work session.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Rick. Warren.
Just make one comment of concern. The substance of these amendments just guts the bill. Because now, in addition to showing possession, you'd have to show production in violation of the laws of the state or importation in violation of the laws of the United States. You just can't show those things based on mere possession. And they're not going to tell. And that makes Mr. Kent's job of prosecuting the major cases in these kinds of violation impossible. Now, I have some concern, let me say, about the constitutionality of incorporation by reference of the federal laws. My understanding is the state laws can't do that except in the income tax code, where there's a specific provision of the state constitution. Finally, let me just say that none of my clients have asked me to look at the material that they're concerned about. I think it. I suppose it's on a par of you know, if we wanted to outlaw murder, I would expect people to come to you with examples of people who have been murdered. In terms of calling Major Renfro, it seems to me that when we were in the House committee, it was the state police who brought the exhibits to pass around to the committee to show them the kinds of problems that they were facing that they couldn't deal with because of the absence of this kind of legislation. The only way you can understand what's going on in this area is to see the stuff. Again, I haven't seen it. Let me just say this, though. One of the really depressing things about being an attorney in this state and trying to keep up with the law is the fact that we've gotten to the point where in virtually every advance sheet of the Oregon appellate courts, there is a case of child sexual abuse being appealed. Time, and you know, I read these things on a regular basis, and I don't do that kind of work. It's not my part of the practice. It's, you know, my practice is mostly estate planning and probate, but I try to keep up on what's going on, and a lot's going on in this area. And that's the best example I can give.
We've got some cases in those areas as well. We've got some statutes before us. And I'm going to step away from the issue at hand and say, we are making it easier to prosecute, which is appropriate. We are extending statute of limitations, probably stretching, if you're in the criminal side where you really you're stretching evidence to what people are arguing about it in many cases too. So we're trying to right some wrongs here that have been going on for a long time, and the process probably stretching the realm of what we traditionally know as
I appreciate the senator's concerns, and let me just say, when this project was presented,
so I'm not saying I don't believe necessarily that having those things going up to appeal is necessarily so bad. It just means
Well, it just means there are a lot of them. There's one in every advance sheet. You know, they do 26 a year.
Yeah.
That's I mean, those are just the cases that get up prosecuted and up in appeal. Let me just say finally, this is this is not my area of law, and Senator Bonwitz once commented to me when we were at a hearing on another matter, what am I doing? I'm the one who's as much as anything in my political reputation is around protecting the kind of First Amendment interests that are implicit in any law in this area. So let me just say this very briefly about that. Speech extends over a lot of activity. When somebody comes up to you with a gun and says, give me your purse or your wallet, they're speaking. But nobody in their wildest imagination suggests that that's protected. And you have to have a